I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Greetings, listener dear. I'm Tom.
I'm Ben.
And I'm Matthew, and welcome to another Pappy's Flatshare Beef Brothers Cold Cuts. And it is...
yeah. What a stupid... What a ridiculous title.
No, it's the first time you've heard it as well, isn't it? We've always kept little bits of information away from Parry just because we don't want to blow his mind. But
you don't want me to quit.
He's hanging on by a thread. So
Pappy's Flatshare Beef Brothers Cold Cuts.
I mean, what? We're all over the shop, aren't we?
If someone was trying to get me to listen to this pod, imagine if someone who I knew said, okay. Oh, do you listen to podcasts? And I'm like, not really. It's like, try listening to this. It's called Pappy's Flatshare Beef Brothers Cold Cuts. I'd have been out by the third word. it's such a hard sell. With that many words.
And that's why we really appreciate that you're listening right now.
Thank you so much. Please do like and subscribe. And of course, tell your friends about us.
Thank you for wading to the title.
We're sorry that we made it so tough for you to listen to us, but thank you for passing the test.
Yeah, you've got through it. You've got past the title and into the good stuff. Basically, it's to keep the normies out, right?
We've got an amazing guest this evening. Oh, we recorded it in an evening, by the way, which, by the way, gives a real laid-back, chill vibe to the proceedings.
I like it. Well, the only thing I'll say about it is that every time we record in the evening, by about sort of 45 minutes in, my throat starts to seize up because I just basically... At 7 o'clock every night of lockdown, I eat 7 roast potatoes. And I don't mean individual bit. I mean 7 potatoes chopped up and roasted, and then I eat them myself. And so I'm not used to talking after that many roast potatoes. Yeah. So I ate a load of roast potatoes, sat down, started talking. They went,
but really claggy. I'd done a full plate of Bubble and Squeak, and it was a family's worth amount of Bubble and Squeak, but no one else wanted any Bubble and Squeak.
Well, you're a family's worth of person, Tom. I've always said it.
I applied to it. Thank you, Matthew. That means a lot to me.
You anyway, are your own flat share.
You are.
Yes, we battled through the clag to bring you this evening's podcast with a brilliant guest.
Yes, but before all of that, sorry. Yes, we do have to do it. You're always sliding into the... You're always so ready to slide into the air. Well, no, we've got to do the promo. Gone.
Yeah, no, but I was thinking we mentioned who our guest is just to keep those people who are not... They're thinking of changing their mind. I want to keep them listening.
Okay, yeah. Good call. Mention the guest.
Don't worry, it's not just us.
We've got Kerry Godliman coming up. Oh, yes, suit our laws. Kerry Godliman. What?
Brilliant stand-up. Phenomenal
luxury
actor.
A luxury booking. We could have talked to her all evening if Crosby's clag hadn't kicked in and we had to end it prematurely.
Sorry, guys, I gotta go.
but that's coming up after we do a classic bit of promo from Crosby Roasty Matthew.
Oh, God. Crosby Roasty Matthew.
Welcome to the roast of Matthew Crosby.
It's not a bad nickname, Crosby Roasty Matthew.
It's not. I mean, it's no Pappy's Flatshare Beef Brothers Cold Cuts, but I'm taking it. Crosby. I think the problem might be you're bad at naming things.
I'm starting to realise that might be the problem.
Well,
Crosby Roasty.
Good evening, folks. Crosby Roasty Matthew here, reporting live from my sofa where I've eaten quite a lot of potatoes. The big news that everyone's talking about is that
he's
if you're listening to this,
he's going to run outside and run himself over in his car in a minute.
If you're listening to this on the day it comes out, and why wouldn't you be, then tonight, Carrie Ad Lloyd and Angela Barnes are our guests for a fantastic Pappy's Flatshare Slamdowns. Not a great title, but it's the title we're giving the show. It's live over Zoom. Get yourself to eventbrite.co.uk and get yourself a ticket, or go to our Twitter at Pappy's Tweet or Instagram.
Fill up your baking trays with potatoes.
I promise you, I'll have had a potato and a half. Don't you worry about that. 16th.
Now, look, for those of you that haven't done it before, it's a really fun wait. It's like attending a live recording. It's like having a night out without leaving your house. We just goof around with our mates. You get to enjoy it on YouTube, have a drink, you know, come along and join us. It's always good fun.
Absolutely. And if it's after the fact, then it stays live for a few days, so you can still grab a ticket and still watch it in your own time. But yeah, 16th of February, 8 p.m. And we'd love to see you there. We should also say, if you love Kerry Godleman as much as we do, then you'll want to hear more of her. And what better way to hear more than to hear a bonus beef with Kerry Godleman on our Patreon. We recorded a beef that is not in the main episode, but was... It was a juicy beef.
Oh, yeah.
It's really, really good.
It's a juicy beef.
It's got a noise in it that you have to hear. I'm not going to tell you who made the noise or how we came to, you know, how the noise came to occur, but this is a noise that you have to hear. So get yourself to patreon.com/Pappy's Flatshare. $5 and above, I think it's £4.50 and above, you can get all of our bonus beefs. There's loads of them. You can also get all 100 plus episodes of Pappy's Flatshare Lockdown. You get 2 episodes a week. I know, it's bad, isn't it? All our titles.
More titles.
you get 2 episodes a week, and you get the entire back catalogue the second you join. Plus, we've started...
And you also...
Yeah, go on.
You also get our Love, Sex, Shagdowns as well, which are our sexy specials. We've done 10 now, and holy moly, what a treat they are. If you're looking for somewhere to get your freak on, to celebrate sex in all its odd forms, then that is the place to do it. I was saying to my wife today just how liberating I find these Love, Sex, Shagdowns, and how kind of sex positive I think it is. And I kind of inadvertently said, you know, I was talking about when we have sex. It was like, oh no. I suddenly realised that because she doesn't listen. And I was like,
I've revealed quite a lot about our personal life. And so if you listen to those, you'll hear another noise that is really worth hearing. So all of that is worth checking out over at our Patreon, patreon.com/Pappy's Flatshare. And the final thing I'd ask for is, if you'd like to get in touch...
Another roast potato, please.
I've had enough roasties. It's time for the beef. Beefbrotherspodcast@gmail.com is the email to get in touch with us if you want to send us your beefs. And
address those emails to Crosby Roasty Man.
Here's our guarantee. If you address it, dear Crosby Roasty Matthew, it's getting on the show. any address to Crosby Roasty Matthew to beefbrotherspodcast@gmail.com, it's getting on the show without a shadow of a doubt.
Without further ado, enjoy this episode. And as you're listening to it, try and guess from the sound of his voice what Clarkie had for dinner and what he was battling during the record. And at the end of the recording, he's going to reveal to you what dinner he was trying to keep down during this.
Well, if you got a problem, don't call it a problem. If you got a problem, call it a beef. If you got a beef, maybe we can help you. Beef from the sorting out your beef.
So thank you, by the way, for coming on the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Well, thanks for doing it. What's your setup at the moment? What's your... Because it's obviously a flatmate scenario.
It's a house. I know, flatmate scenario. So I could do the whole, hey, my flatmates are... my children, but it's not as fun as that. It's not as fun as that.
I like the way you clarified. It's a house. Just in case people, you know, it's not a flat. I'm doing all right.
It's a house. The postcode
would be the revealer of that. Yeah, but yes, it's a house with children in it and a husband in it. And actually, up until about 2 weeks ago, I was away. I was away working. So I wasn't really having to do all the homeschooling shit. But now I'm back and I'm very much doing it. And I really don't like it.
And how does your home styling compare to the one that was going on when you were away? Like, are your kids like, oh, God, Mom's back. Or are you is it like, yes, Mom's got a cool homeschool?
When I first got back, it was a bit of that. Like, Mom's back, she's the cool one. And now that's finished, that's over. Yeah. My teenage daughter would rather I just fuck off permanently, I think. And my son was quite happy to see me back. Yeah.
Can I ask, is somebody rubbing a bit of paper or something?
Oh, yeah, me.
I'm sorry to be such a pain, but it was driving me up the fucking wall. I was going, who is that?
Sorry.
And I was trying, but I was trying to, without working it out, I was looking at everyone's faces going, who's fidgeting?
What are you?
It was just because I was talking about my family and I have anxiety. So I have to scrunch paper up. So it's fine, Matt.
Is someone tearing strips off a beer bottle at the moment? It seems like
it's either I scrunch paper off or I rock and sway.
Sorry, yeah, in which case, if those are your worry beads, you rub that bit of paper as much as you need to, Kerry.
Post-it notes of my worry beads. No, it's all fine. It's just that there are moments. I mean, have you had guests on that are parents as well?
So that's
the problem is you want to kind of share, but you're aware that everyone's going through the same shit. There's no unique spin on homeschooling. I can't put a new spin on it. It's just shit.
I was expecting you to come on and go like, I've cracked it, guys.
No.
I've got the answer.
No. I mean, I am amazed at how upset I can get in such a record short amount of time. Like, I always, when I start the day, I'm like, today's going to be the day I'm going to smash it. And then it utterly falls apart within half an hour.
I've got a thing now because I mean, homeschooling is a strong term for what I've been doing this week. Basically, my daughter's 18 months.
Right.
So doesn't require schooling, but requires a lot of attention. And the nursery's been closed for 10 days because there was an outbreak of COVID in her room. I use the word outbreak to make it seem a lot more. One person had it. It's not an outbreak, really. But
that shuts the nursery
down. It shuts the entire room down for 10 days. So we've had her. And it was the last day today, and I'd done so well. And literally, as I was giving her dinner, I can't remember what happened. Something happened. Something in the house, inanimate, I told to fuck off, and she repeated it. And it's like normally when we swear, which we still do around the house, she just does it. Sort of goes over her head, doesn't really realize it. She'll copy phrases we use, but she's pretty good at cherry picking the good ones. Today she just turned around and said fuck off to her carrots. So
I think you're just going to have to roll with that because it's only going to get worse.
That's true. Yes, that's
so
right.
So you just got to get on board with it.
A lot of kids are going to be going back to school after this homeschooling period with a whole arsenal of swear words in
absolutely.
Like, kids are going to arrive back like, look what I learnt when I was away.
Oh, completely. I mean, I was in the park today and this old woman with, like, she was quite old and a kid fell off a swing. And she was outraged by the language. She went, I know he's hurt himself, but good God, we need this language. This kid was about six and he was like, fuck! He's like, fuck this! And this poor old woman was like, oh, I don't think there's any need for that. But I was with the kid.
Well, that's swearing, that's the language I'd use. So.
Yeah, I mean, swearing is for extremity and we are in a pandemic.
Yeah.
So let's bring out the swears.
There's been an outbreak. You're allowed to say fuck off.
Yes, you can say fuck off. You can say a lot of swears.
You've made me feel a lot better. Beer from the sorting out your beer. Let's do, Kerry, I sent you one.
Oh, is this the dog one?
Yeah. Let's have a look at it.
Okay.
Can you read it for us?
Oh, sorry. Well, let's have a look at it. I meant you're going to read it out. Sorry, Kerry.
Oh, my God. I thought you were going to show me something. That's what looking implies.
No.
Right.
Let's all of us have a look at the thing you're about to read out. Here we go.
Right, so this is my... Right, quick beef. My downstairs neighbour insists that I've got a secret dog and I don't have any dogs, secret or otherwise. How do I convince them? That's mad. And it's perhaps worth noting that I am permitted by my landlord to have a dog. However, it's the noise of the secret dog that is the problem here.
That's so good.
I had that with a neighbour once. They slid a note under my door a couple of times saying that I was up in the middle of the night banging around in the kitchen, opening cupboards and shutting cupboards. Wasn't at all.
both times, and they're like, you know, after the first time I kind of said, you know, really sorry, but definitely wasn't me or my housemate that checked. And the second time, it was a very snarky second letter of like, oh, I suppose you weren't up at 4 a.m. in the morning banging kitchen cupboards. I was like, no,
you eliminated sleep walking.
Yeah, I've never done it before in my life.
How would you know?
Yeah,
good point. You make a good point. Yeah, if you're just very good at getting yourself back to bed afterwards,
you don't set up a video system or a means of knowing. Yes. How would you know?
Have you ever adopted a dog? could that be what's going on here?
My another thing at the moment I've got is my dog dreams are out of control. Almost every night at the moment I'm having a dream that I got a dog, that I come into ownership of a dog.
Are you thinking of getting a dog?
I'd love to have one, but I don't think I can or should.
Why?
Well, I live in a first floor flat.
But everyone's getting a COVID dog.
Yeah.
Everyone's getting a COVID dog.
You're allowed a grief dog, Clarky. You're allowed a support dog.
Get yourself
dog.
A pandemic Get puppy, mate.
Well, that's the thing, Christmas, dogs for life, not just for Christmas, but a pandemic.
Yeah, but this is going to go on for fucking years. Get yourself a dog.
It. Get yourself a dog. Does a COVID dog, can it detect COVID? Do you send it into a room and it sniffs around? Send it to your daughter's nursery, crossbow.
I wonder.
That would be amazing. I'd love. I mean, it would save it, because I don't know if you've had to. Have you had to have the test? If you had to go down to the.
I've had loads of tests.
Have you? Have you had them sent to you and you send them back?
No, because I was doing this job. I was working recently, so they tested us every other day.
Oh right, yeah, of course.
So I was constantly having things shoved in.
You've not had to. Well, that's the actor's life for you, isn't it? But,
you haven't had to. Send a wild word to the bishop.
Was it the same swabber every day, or was it like?
No, there were variables, and I'll tell you what: some of them are maniacs. Some of them are like, "Oh, it's just going to be a tickle." Others, elbow deep.
Stuff. Yeah.
Lunatics.
Have you had to give your kids a test?
Yeah, they've had tests. If I wanted to see them at the weekend, they had to be tested.
It's tough, isn't it, giving the kid? Because I've had to give my daughter a test twice now, and it really is. Because also they say, they say like stick it, whatever it is, an inch up the nose, and you go, well, she hasn't got an inch. She's not got an inch to give. Her head's tiny.
She's too little. That's horrible. Mine are older, so they kind of, they could handle it. But that's awful with the little.
Yeah,
my two loved it. bring it, especially the teenager. I did used to play a game pre-pandemic, which I now realise was prep, which was how long you could endure a bit of grass stuck up your nose. It was a great game on a summer's day. You'd be like, go on,
tickling the fine hairs inside.
Yes, you got to handle it. Stick it out. Now that has prepared me brilliantly for this.
How far up your nose do you think you could get it? Could you get it out the tear duct?
Well, I can now. In the old days, no, I had zero tolerance. But now you can go right up to my brain.
Tickle the brain, cheer yourself up a little bit.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, the what you said, Clarky, actually makes me think. Now, I hate to go down this route because obviously it excludes a lot of people who don't believe in this sort of thing. But have you thought of the supernatural aspect to it?
Because
ghost dog, exactly. Do you we've talked before about me witnessing a ghost wolf. When I was a little child, a wolf came into my room and blew in my face. And I saw a ghost wolf. Famously, I saw a ghost wolf.
That is great.
Yeah, thank you. It wasn't at the time. It was quite scary, but, I've dined out on it for years. But could...
Ghost wolf. Have you got to have a T-shirt or something made saying that?
It does sound like a good band, doesn't it, ghost wolf?
Ghost wolf would be a great band.
I think that's not a bad idea. I'll get myself a ghost wolf T-shirt.
But and learn an instrument.
Yeah. But blowing in your face isn't a great album title, is it?
No. How about I blew a ghost wolf?
Oh, I'd buy that album.
Ha 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 ha.
The Boy Who Cried Boy Ghost Wolf?
I'll Huff and I'll Puff. I think that's the name of the album.
Oh, yes. Peter and the Ghost Wolf.
Yes, this is what we're talking about. What do we think about a ghost dog, though? Do we think
Have we just formed a band?
We just need to learn to play music.
One of these days.
Well, it's been a long time. If it hasn't happened by now. So do you think, Clarkie, firstly, in your situation, because it sounds like, you know, banging of pots and pans, clattering of stuff, that sounds like the Enfield Haunting, doesn't it? It sounds like a sort of, you know, like a poltergeist. But if they're hearing like the sound of a dog and there is no dog, could it be a ghost dog?
Well, that's, I mean, in my case, I'm sure it was just pipes.
Pipes from Ghost Watch.
Yeah, I was going to say.
pan pipes.
Pandemic pipes.
What I think is unfortunate is that your old neighbours were a bit shitty about it. It's like, as if you're doing it on purpose.
Well, again, with that, you go, well, I kind of would be within my rights to move around at night, you know.
Yeah.
But also, I wasn't.
Also, if you're stamping around in the middle of the night, clanging pots and pans, you've clearly got your own stuff going on. You don't need your neighbours coming in, you know.
But I'm a bit upset about the second email, the passive aggressive second one with the, I suppose you weren't up banging pots and pans.
Yeah.
I do not like that approach. No. And you don't go to that in the second email. You save that. You hang back with that.
You need that for number
You never go in. You don't go in second email with that shit.
Yeah.
That's it. Early doors.
I think note under the door anyway is passag from note one. Knock on the front door, face them face to face. You know, have a bit of a chat about it.
Don't be a coward. My friend recently had a feud with her neighbour and the second email was like, would you like me to buy you some slippers? How's that for passag?
Clanging about. Yeah, but here's the thing, though. They're hard to buy now because people are going through more slippers than they used to.
No, you can get them from Jeff Bezos in a blink. We can think about slippers. My letterbox can ship one out within 12 hours of this thought.
Before the end of this record, we'll all be in slippers.
We could all have slippers.
Ghost Wolfer in slippers, everyone.
Second album.
A lot more laid back, chilled approach.
Unplugged.
Do you think that's what's going on here, though? Has the neighbour been really clever here? Rather than be passag, rather than be ag, they've decided to just go fucking weird? Because now they're in that person's head. They're going like, I heard your dog. And it's like, oh, I haven't got a dog. And then they're going to be in their flat going, well, everyone be a bit quiet because the guy downstairs thinks we've got a dog.
Maybe they work for Battersea Dogs Home and they're trying to get that person to take a dog. So if you can head fuck them, you head fuck them into thinking they've got a dog, and then you're like, well, you think you've got a dog, you might as well get a dog.
Might as well have it. I've heard it enough.
Yeah,
exactly. You want to hear it less if you had one.
Mind games.
It's mind games from Battersea.
The thing is, you wouldn't even need to get them to then get the dog. You just keep telling them they've got a dog. You gaslight them to thinking they've got a dog. Then one day they just put a dog in the flat and they go, well, I assume that's been here the whole time.
Exactly. You always had a dog.
You don't need... Yeah, it's like the end of The Shining, spoiler alert. The dog was always there. You look at the photo, there's the dog there grinning away in the 1920s.
Yeah. There was a dog in The Shining. Bloody hell, I've got to rewatch that. I think that it's mind games to drive them away. I think they'll start freaking out. I think they've clearly got a noisy neighbour and they're like, do the ghost dog trick, pretend there's a spiritual dog, freak them out, think they're going mad, going like, do I have a dog? I don't have a dog. Do I? Do I have a dog? Oh, I'd better move house. There's something in it.
There's some weird shit going down.
There's some weird shit going down, Kerry. That's what it is. There's some weird shit going down.
Or do they have, like, how do they move around the flat? Are they on all fours?
Do they pad around the house on all fours?
It's a shame this is an audio medium because your impression of padding around the flat was great visually.
Clark is a very physical performer. He's absolutely wasted on podcasting. He's the Charlie Chaplin of podcasts.
Totally. It's really good dog padding around a flat action. I've got a dog.
Oh, here we go.
And I am rather bored of my dog. She's nearly 8.
Can I have it?
Well, why don't we give it to these people and they could just have it? And then that's the dog they had all along.
Yeah.
My dog's a bit boring. She's a boring dog.
What kind of dog have you got?
Was she always boring? Was she always boring? She's definitely got boring.
She's got boring as she's got older. Now she's like
people do, don't they?
Yeah. All of us,
Well, they're people, aren't they? Not dogs. We're talking about dogs. I mean, I only wanted a dog.
There is a crucial difference. Sorry, yeah.
I mean, welcome to your parenting podcast. Well, people do it off, get boring after the age of 8.
Just put her out in the yard.
My dog is a sort of shitting ornament. That's how I look at her. So she's really boring. So they can have her. They can have my dog.
There
That'll
you
solve
go.
That problem.
There is beef solved. Just get beef a real solved. Dog and there we are. Beef solved, mate.
Have my dog.
Beef from the sorting out your beef.
Beef solved.
I'm just having a what I like to call a Godleman's moment of silence when I find the email.
Yeah. Nice little.
There it is. Okay. Jump scares and send your Twinkie from John via beefbrotherspodcast@gmail.com. Get in touch, everyone.
Get in touch. Yeah.
All right, me pappas, and good day from Melbourne. Oh, wow. Hello.
Wowee. Are you going to do it in an Australian beef? Accent?
Yes.
You gonna
no. Oh, no. Okay. At the start of the 112-day hard lockdown here in Melbourne, I was forced to move and ended up in a new house. I think it's going to detract.
Yeah.
Okay. No one heard any words there. They were too dazzled.
I got
by
it.
Mine.
I was with you. Okay. Fully.
At the start of the 112-day hard lockdown here in Melbourne, I was forced to move and ended up in a new house share. I now have a bigger room in a nicer house and pay less rent.
Oh.
I even get on with my two new housemates for the most part. All good so far. However, one housemate, who shall remain named Richard, has two unusual habits. The first and easiest to explain is a passion for sneaking up on me or my other housemate and scaring us. He's a very large South African man but can seemingly move throughout the house without making a sound. I can now no longer do the washing up whilst listening to Flat Slam, House Meeting or Beef Brothers without the fear that Richard could scare the shit out of me at any second. The second and more peculiar habit is pretending his protruding lockdown belly is a Frenchman named Senor Twinkie.
Wait, Senor Twinkie. Can Senor?
Yeah.
It's very Senor, confusing.
Senor Twinkie speaks with a bad French accent, likes to press himself against you without consent, and consume food through Richard's hairy belly button.
Oh, dear.
These sights, once seen, cannot be unseen. So, Pappies, how can I return to enjoying your podcast whilst doing the washing up? And how can I make sure I never see Senor Twinkie again? Lots and lots of love. John from Melbourne.
Right.
Oh.
I think you've got to out Twinkie the Twinkie. You've got to fight Twinkie with Twinkie, unfortunately.
What this is pointing towards isn't necessarily... I mean, like, they're two specific problems. But what it's really pointing towards is you're living with a bit of a character.
Yeah.
And living with a bit of a character can grind you down, can't it?
I mean, I don't know. Go I've on, always been pirate. The character.
And I've lived with you.
Well, you're very grinding. Like, would you have done that sort of thing though as a character?
No, do you know what? That's not my character at all. No.
It feels like, you know, you like there are these people in the comedy world that we all know who are great, amazing people, and they're great to spend time with, and they're awesome on stage, but then they come off stage and they're still the same, and it's like, oh, you're not off. You're not on. Yeah. You just keep going, and it's like those people are amazing, but then if you were living with that person, it's like, whoa.
Turn it
okay.
down. Yeah. Have a rest,
and
mate.
I feel like...
I'd love to see Senor Twinkie on Live at the Apollo, but I wouldn't like to live with him, is what we're saying here. There's definitely good... Senor Twinkie's doing good gear. We all know that. He's doing good material.
Yeah, but you can't stretch that sort of shit out for 20 minutes. I mean, that
you're right. He'll do well in the competitions. I mean, he'll smash all the competitions. Then he'll really struggle to step up to 20s, yep.
Marcel Leconte's absolutely gutted about that. I mean, I can't believe... Marcel Leconte's going, I can't believe Senor Twinkie's on the scene. Straight at the Apollo. He's only just started.
I'm not a big lover of a pranking. I don't like
no,
a prank.
No, I was going to say, not my vibe. Particularly
not my
that
vibe.
Just coming up and scaring someone. No, thank you.
No, it's short-lived.
do you scare easily, Kerry?
Yeah, it's really easy to make me jump. So if someone does it afterwards, I'm like, oh, well done you! I mean, what have we achieved?
If anything, you scare them back much more.
Oh, yeah.
I think we might be getting something here. This might be good advice for John. I think if John's on high alert for the scare at all times,
and then when it arrives,
he like turns around and goes, ah! Like if he's got like Freddy Krueger kind of, if he sellotapes some knives to his hand or something, and then like
while he's washing up.
do what you got to do. You do what you got to do, because this bloke's got to learn.
So the way to wash up is you sellotape all of the cutlery to your hands and you just sort of swoosh it around in the sink.
Hopefully you'll only need to go through this once.
Exactly. You modernise a pair of gloves. You kind of customise them. You fit loads of like knives to them, and you're waiting. You've got your hands under the water, and you're just waiting.
You're listening to a podcast. Like you're enjoying yourself.
He thinks you're washing up. He starts.
You're ready.
He jumps out. You turn around and go, "Not today, you can't!"
Now that is a sitcom.
Unfortunately, we made it in 2013, Kerry. marigolds with a load of like knives, forks, spatulas, a little egg beater or something, the lot, all sticking out of the end of it. And then not today, you can't. I think it's good.
He won't scare you again, will he?
Yeah, he'll leave you the fuck alone.
And then with the knives, shave his belly real quick.
While you're at it. Edward Scissorhands, send your Twinkie.
Do you think there's a sort of Samson-like ability in his bodily hair? Do you think that's what it is? If you were to get some Imac and, Imac all his hair off, he'd stop doing send your Twinkie.
Did you, Twinkie really has that memory for me of watching Grease, like between the ages of like, I don't know, 7 and 15, me and my sister watched Grease like 5-6 times a year. And that Who Wants a Twinkie and Twinkie or what? I never knew what a Twinkie was for the life of me. But it was like we used to reference it all the time and go, Twinkies and wine, real class, Jan. And it was
but the thing about Grease is it's filled with these. It's like absolutely littered with them. Like, I remember dancing around to, oh, it's a real pussy wagon.
Yeah.
And then being
the chicks
like,
or cream.
Oh, yeah, your chicks or cream. And then you watch it when you're an adult and you're like, oh, shit. And your kids are watching it, but you know they don't understand it, so.
And the cycle continues.
Yeah, exactly.
The Twinkie for me was Ghostbusters. That's a big Twinkie. Do you remember they explained? Like,
can I just ask, what is a Twinkie?
It's It's like a sponge, sort of like a sort of sponge kind of bar that has got cream inside it.
But what's the rude angle?
I guess maybe because it's like penis-like with cream.
Is it phallic? It's phallic.
I guess it's a bit
phallic
with cream inside. Yeah, yeah. So
see. So it jizzes.
Well, if you bit the end off it and gave it a squeeze, I reckon,
the rude angle.
That would be.
Are you one of our American listeners? Can you jizz a Twinkie? Get in touch. Let us know.
beefbrotherspodcast@gmail.com.
Get in touch. Send us a video.
Call us now.
Can you Twinkie? Widow Twinkie.
Oh, Widow Twinkie.
I'm having a Widow Twinkie.
Oh, I'm moving with that. That's the third album.
There you go. I think that's beef sold. I think we've sorted that.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, I'm really happy with that resolution. I think that is a really good bit of advice. Solid.
And get back in touch and tell us how he reacts. Is this the end of Senior Twinkie?
Can you video it? That's what we're after.
Yes.
I mean, I'd love to see that actioned.
This is what we need.
GoPro on the head. I want all of it.
Yeah. Well, beef solved.
And also sitcom commissioned.
Beef from the sorting out your beef. Beef solved.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices
down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
This one is from Becky via pappysflatshare@gmail.com. Another way to get in touch. Why not? Becky writes, hello, gang. As you wonderfully solved my last beef, waiting till the anniversary of our wedding for my husband to finally write his side of the thank you cards. I remember that one well. Yeah, I come to you with a new problem. Less than 18 months after our wedding, we have done the stereotypical thing of people in their 30s. We've got pregnant. Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Well,
congratulations.
Done.
The due date is looming, March 18th. Oh, right. That's close. And since I've entered the third trimester, my emotions have gone crazy. I'm so quick to anger. I feel like a character from a cartoon or a dream sequence from Scrubs, with steam coming out of my ear and a devil voice. I know my emotional roller coaster is a lot to deal with, but am I being unreasonable to ask my husband to be the better person? Right. My husband loves debating, but I'm asking that while carrying our unborn baby, can he back down from an argument and just concede? I get the feeling this is one of those emails where you don't necessarily need us to solve it. You just need to be able to play it back to him. You know, you can just take this podcast now and go, look, this is all I need. Listen to this man you've never heard of. Read this out. And this is what I'm feeling right now. He says he shouldn't get into the habit of giving in. And that's not his personality. Oh, come on, mate.
He sounds like a waiter.
Not today, cunt. I think
that's the answer.
I think the answer for everything.
Sellotape some knives to your hand.
Two problems, one solution.
Have it under the duvet. Well, actually, darling, I think you're fine. Not today, cunt!
That's my kind of debate.
And by the way, my waters are broken.
he says he shouldn't get into the habit of giving in, and that's not his personality. I argue back with my exorcist voice that I don't want to walk over for a husband, but now, can he just put my feelings above his? Is that completely unfair? This situation is exacerbated by the age-old problem of one of us being a hot drink drinker and the other not. Okay, what I love here is now we're going into the specifics.
Is that code for an alcoholic?
Someone's been on the hot toddies. For me, tea and in pregnancy hot chocolate is a real comfort. And if I ask if he can make me a cup of tea, it's always met with a sigh. It happens, but with a sigh. In the 7 years we've been together, he has never once asked if I want a cup of tea. The other night, when I was in tears with work problems, an offer of a cup of tea would have warmed my heart, but alas, it never comes. Is it also unreasonable to ask a non-tea drinker to offer tea? And then she writes, this is very, very, very kind of you, Becky, but don't worry about that. She writes, as I write this, I worry it's actually quite heavy material, I think, with no jokes. Sorry. Any help would be appreciated, Becky. Well, Becky, don't you worry about it being heavy material. We're here to help.
Yes.
Right.
I'm worried my help will be a time machine.
Go back 7 years.
You need to review your life choices, mate.
You've done the stereotypical things. Married in your early 30s, pregnancy in your late 30s, divorce in your early 40s. Absolutely right.
Let's try and salvage it. Come on, for Becky's sake.
There's got to be a tea equivalent that he drinks, right? I think that's it, isn't it?
He must drink some liquid,
when
right?
When you get yourself a drink, you get your partner a drink at the same time. It's pretty simple. Those are the rules, right?
Yeah.
Well, it's and simple so if you're to you and your, me, but
yeah, if you're getting yourself a water, you've just got to say if you're getting yourself a drink, offer
yeah,
me
but
one.
He has an aversion to being walked all over. We need to go back to that aspect yes. of the email. This is a man that thinks losing an argument means being walked all over.
Yeah, he's so one of these, I see equality as oppression. He's one of these
yes,
dudes. Yeah.
We're
talking patriarchy here is what we're talking.
Yes.
We're talking toxic masculine.
Absolutely. Patriarchy. I mean, this is some serious hardcore therapy required.
Yeah.
You're not going to fix it in this little podcast, guys.
Nah, well, listen, we've fixed bigger problems and we've broken up stronger marriages.
Down there, little lady, because I think we might.
Whoa, whoa, whoa!
Calm down, dear. We'll solve this.
If anyone's going to figure it out, it's three white men, all right?
I'm really worried. I'm worried about this unborn child. I've got loads of concerns.
There's a lot going on.
This bloke needs to come round here and I'll have a chat with him.
Yeah, I mean, how can we get through to this guy through... You know,
I feel like shall we do a bit of a role play?
Yes.
Harry, if you were to be this won't back down, non pushover alpha, shouldn't be a hard role for you to adopt. And Kerry, you want to be Kerry. You're sitting down now with husband here. You can say whatever you like to him. What would you say?
I'm feeling quite emotional. It's been a really tough day today.
Okay.
I like the voice as well. Really, you know what?
Okay.
Yeah, I love it.
What? Well, it'd be really nice if you probed a bit or asked me a little bit about my day.
Yeah, just let me finish this cold beverage that I've made for myself. hang on. Right. How's this going to help?
Well, we're going to offer them role play salute. I love role play. I'm fully
great.
On board.
Okay. Okay. Great. Okay.
I'm going to give you an opportunity to climb down from a debate and acquiesce to my opinion.
Okay? You know I don't do that, babe, and that's one of the reasons why you love me.
Well, it was when we met, but now yeah. I'm
Good
7
times.
Years down the road. No. When I look back, I think I was depressed when we met.
Wow.
I think I had low self-esteem. I think I confused your wankeriness as sexy, but I appear to have made some appalling life choices.
Shall I put the kettle on?
No, you fuck. Not today, you can't.
Oh, God. Are they knives?
See? Well, play's really good fun.
It is good.
I tell you what, I'm
good, actually.
I think the not today you cunt is a catch-all as well. It just works, doesn't it? It cuts through to the nub of any argument.
Totally.
We're gonna have to change the title of this podcast, aren't we? Welcome to Not Today You Cunt. What scenario do you want us to tell you? To tell
it
someone
does,
not today
it
you cunt.
It does solve a lot of problems, that catchphrase.
It really does, yeah. Actually, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Gosh,
we should say it to the South African variant. Not today, you can't.
Sadly, it's more like it's what the Kent variant is saying to the rest of the world.
Yeah.
I mean,
not today, you Kent.
Not today, you variant. Basically, this guy needs to realise that this is his moment to change, right?
Yes.
That's what has to happen.
He's got to want to change.
So how do you make someone want to change?
With knives.
With knives and the C word.
With total aggression.
I feel like ultimatums are useful because he's about to go into a brand new existence for him. Fatherhood, mm-hmm. right? So
yes.
you can say that's on the horizon. You can say, look, I like you as a person. I quite like you as a husband. I don't know how much of a father you're going to be. You need to pull up your socks. Because then it's giving them a deadline. Rather than going, you're bad now, change, which is a bit,
yeah.
it's a bit nebulous. Say, look, we've got just over a month before our world is going to get turned upside down forever. You need to be, I feel ready. You need to be ready. And I feel like that's what we need. That's what he needs. You know, you need to meet me at that starting line, and we need to cross it with our, you know, holding hands, rather than you going, yeah, well, I don't actually back
down. Yeah, but he might see that as an argument, mightn't he? He'd be like, well, I don't want to be seen as a, you know.
Well, I think that's the other thing as well. You've got to explain to him, we're on the same side, you and
yes,
I.
Yes, yeah.
And so you're not losing by helping me.
We're both winning. Yes, that's so true.
Yeah, but you're saying that because you're a nice person.
Well, thank you, Kerry, but honestly.
But if you've got to explain that to someone, if you've got to explain that shit to someone, you're losing already, aren't you?
If you have to say, yeah, you know, we're a team. Well, are we though? Or is this actually a competition where basically whoever dies first loses?
And that's when you flip out your finger swords.
We could send them some YouTube videos about not being a wanker or something. Are there ways of...
Well, it's like basically the simple message is it has never been less about you than it is right now. That's all he needs to know. It's like, dude, it has never been less about you than right now.
Maybe that's why he's acting out.
Yes. It does happen, doesn't it? It's like, you know, it's a tricky thing for husbands, apparently, that they're used to getting all of the attention. And then suddenly they're getting not as much of the attention.
Yeah.
And maybe, in fact, you're right. That's it. He's doubling down because he's worried.
I have got a tip then. I have got a practical tip.
Let's hear it.
Get a birthing pool. Just get one. Get a hose pipe. It gives blokes loads to do. Keeps them really occupied for weeks.
Go into hospital anyway.
do what you've got to do, but let him feel like he can blow it up, he can deflate it, he can fill it up, he can play
drink
in it.
Drink from it.
He can drink, he put beer
nice
in
and
it.
Cold.
And then when
it just gives him a project.
When he's having a little swim around in it, just a knee to the back of the neck for 3 to 4 minutes. And you know what?
When the bubbles stop, the good times start. Problem solved.
Beef solved.
Beef solved. It's a really good catchphrase.
From the sorting out your beef solved.
Kerry, did you have a problem with your current living situation that you want us to solve? It doesn't have to be the people you live with. It could be your neighbours, anything like that.
Well, I do. Mine is related to homeschooling.
Okay.
And this week, I don't want to read you the whole poem.
Yes!
I mean, it's a long poem called To See the Rabbit by Alan Brown John, right? Now, this was set as the whole week's work for my 10-year-old son to use as a sort of piece of, I don't know, like, they're going to, like, study it, talk about it, write their own poems based on it. So it's the whole week.
It's a project, basically.
It's a project. Yeah. It's a week-long project. Now, if you were in the middle of a global pandemic and you were offering bits of creative writing and poetry, I would say keep it light, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Yes. Absolutely. Keep it light. Yeah. Right, do some Pam Ayres, something a bit funny.
I mean, I don't know what... Definitely go Pam Ayres or Michael Rosen, anyway.
Lovely.
Right, do you want me to read you the whole poem?
Go on, let's have a reading of it, yes.
Okay, we're going to see the rabbit, we're going to see the rabbit. Which rabbit, people say? Which rabbit, ask the children. Which rabbit? The only rabbit in England. Sitting behind a barbed wire fence, under the floodlights, neon lights, sodium lights, nibbling grass, the only patch of grass in England, except the grass by the hoardings, which doesn't count. We're going to see the rabbit. We must be there on time. Shall we go by escalator, then go by underground, then go by motorway, then go by helicopter way, and the last 10 yards we shall have to go on foot? We're going now. We're going to see the rabbit. We're nearly there. We're longing to see it. And so is the crowd, which is here in its thousands with mounted policemen and big loudspeakers and bands and banners. And everyone's come a long way, but soon we shall see it, sitting and nibbling the blades of grass in. But something's gone wrong. Why is everyone so angry? Why is everyone jostling and slanging and complaining? The rabbit has gone. Yes, the rabbit has gone. It's actually burrowed down into the earth and made himself a warren under the earth, despite all these people. What shall we do? What can we do? It's all a pity. You must be disappointed. Go home and do something for today. Go home. Go home for today. For you cannot hear the rabbit under the earth, remarking rather sadly to himself, by himself, as he rests in his warren under the earth. It won't be long. They're bound to come. They're bound to come and find me even here.
Okay, well, we've got that one, Kerry. Can you just have fun with the next one? Just play around with it a little bit. Just mess around a bit.
Right,
it's bleak, isn't it?
I want to say to the school, what the fuck are you doing? Why are you setting this as a subject? What?
It's like an apocalyptic version of we're going on a bear hunt.
It's a dystopian rabbit. It's awful. It made me cry.
Yeah, it's Children of Men, but like... crossed with Watership Down, two incredibly depressing movies.
It's totally Children of Men, Watership Down. It's so bleak.
They've paved.
We read it out. How can the light that shines so brightly certainly I'm doing my mental health, as is everyone else's, is hanging by a thread, and this is the shit they're making us do with the kids.
This is the handful of knives they brought to the table.
It's like a wind up. It's like a prank. You keep thinking Anton Deck are going to burst in and go, "Only joking."
Here's a rabbit. Only joking. You've won a rabbit.
How do you politely say to these really overworked, strung out teachers, "Can you keep it light?"
Like, keep it light, mate.
Could you not write them a poem? Like a poem back about we're going to see the teacher, the only teacher left, because they're all so fucking depressing. They, you know,
the teacher that's burrowed underground, hiding from the whole country,
hiding from the angry homeschooling parents.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. We've all got friends that are teachers, and I know they're up against it. I don't want to be that arsehole, but this really knocked me back this week.
You didn't need that.
I mean, it made Algebra look like a laugh. I'll tell you that much.
What's one rabbit left in England plus one rabbit dead underground?
I mean, mounted police officers and barbed wire. I mean, come on.
Is it worth you writing a jollier poem about a rabbit to kind of lighten the mood, kind of like counter it? Like, there once was a rabbit from Nantucket kind of vibe, you know? Just like a...
Whose tail was so long, exactly, and you get the rest of it.
Send it back into the teacher.
Yeah. We could have done that. Brutal. I did try that. I was like, let's do a sort of other version where there's loads of rabbits and everything's fine. But yeah, I mean,
wow,
it's hard. Man. It's hard enough.
A strong choice.
Yeah, yeah.
It is hard. A really strong choice, isn't it?
Yeah, that is.
I just wanted to clarify that it wasn't me.
No.
Not in the least.
No, I don't. I can't think of an interpretation of that poem where it's jolly. It's really bleak, and it's too like. It's too close to home. It's a lovely poem, but
it was a great reading. It was a good reading as well. Really good reading. You've done like audiobooks, you should put yourself out there to do the audiobook for that.
Dystopian, get
a little bit of money from it.
really bleak books. Yeah.
The voice of the apocalypse. We're off to see the ghost wolf. The only ghost wolf left in England. Live! That's how we'll open our gigs. That's how we'll open our gigs over the tannoy. We'll be like moody lighting.
And it'll be like Spinal Tap, just a little rabbit in a ghost wolf will come
on. You'll come on stage in like a monk cowl type thing and like just in the spotlight and we're going to see the ghost wolf through the barbed wire. And everyone will be like, here we fucking go.
On the last patch of grass in England.
Yeah.
We'll all be dressed as druids.
We'll emerge out of our warrens.
Yes.
We all have a bloke called Warren who looks after us.
Our roadie, our personal roadie.
Get piggybacks on the stage by Warren.
Absolutely.
I wouldn't mind if it was like GCSE or something, but not when they're 10.
No. Not when they're 10. Come God on. Damn it.
Keep it light, for God's sake.
Keep it light. You wouldn't see that shit on Bite Size. You wouldn't. Just wouldn't do it. No. They wouldn't do it.
Honestly, I can't get out. I mean, I've hardly said anything since you read that poem, because I'm genuinely, I'm seriously considering topping myself. I really am. You're gonna find me swinging from the rafters tomorrow with rabbit ears on, because
it's not good. I blame Michael Gove.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, he was the education secretary when these decisions were being made. And
someone needs to attack him with some marigolds with some knives attached to it.
He thinks if they're laughing, they're losing.
I mean, so what? Like, have your kids tried to write a poem based on this?
Like, they had to write a narrative based on it. Yeah, so they had to do a storyboard, which, you know, was like very depressed, of a rabbit in a hole crying. Yeah, I mean, like with barbed wire, pictures of barbed wire, and mounted police horses. I mean, it just felt like, read the room, guys. It's not the time to be doing a dystopian poem.
And also, like, yeah,
so bizarre.
At whatever they are, how old are they? Is it year six?
Year six.
You can pick the. You don't have to. Like, it's not like there's a strict curriculum that you have to study all these. But it's not like you say. It's not like GCSEs.
No,
you can pick whatever you like.
Oh my God, you can do. You could literally do anything. So someone chose this. Someone thought this was a good idea.
Well, we need to speak to that teacher and just check that they're. You know, maybe if somebody sent. You know. If you have a whip round and send him a care basket or something, because I think we should put them on
Easter
you know,
egg.
Yeah,
yeah. Easter egg hunt, exactly.
I didn't want to go on the parent WhatsApp group and go, "Hey guys, anyone else struggling with the dystopian rabbit poem?" Because I don't think that would be met with much appreciation.
They're all just very serious about it, basically.
Yeah, well, everyone's really stressed out, and you know. Locked down.
We're on a parents group for Sing and Sign, which is like baby sign language, and basically it's just this one woman who's you know is running the course, and now she can't do the course, is you know is sending us links to videos so we can do the course at home, one of the mums on it is just so intense, and she's always like. I need these videos now. My son can't relax unless he's watching Sing and Sign videos. She messaged the group on Christmas morning to say, I need the login. What's the login for the video? And you're like, come on, it's this poor person who's running Sing and Sign need to be coming away from Christmas dinner to, like, you know, send you the links. They get very intense, these groups. So, yeah.
Yeah, they can get very intense. You're maybe you could send her you signing that poem.
Yes, I was going to say.
Yeah, that's
one rabbit. Well, get Clarkie's. Clarkie's the physical.
Clarkie does the physical.
Sure,
work, yeah.
I'll be doing it with knives on my fingers, if you don't mind.
The last rabbit in England.
Bad news, guys. There isn't a rabbit left anymore. anyone want a kebab?
Well, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to bring the mood down, but I did. That was that was this week's beef.
Yeah,
beautiful.
And you know, we basically solved it. I think beef solved.
Beef from the sorting out your beef. Beef solved.
Kerry, thanks so much for doing this. It's been really fun. I hope you had a nice time.
I've had a really lovely time.
Is there anything you are up to at the moment that you want to plug? Is there anything that you want people to watch of yours, or
I can't think of anything. No, not at the moment. Anything? Yeah, all the twittery things, but no, nothing pluggy.
Are you doing that paper again?
Oh yeah, sorry.
Kerry, same.
It was because I was remembering that I had a tour that I would have once plugged, but that's gone away.
Oh,
so
no,
I was like,
yeah. Are you, so you haven't gone for the rescheduling? Because I know a few.
Well, I have, but it's all getting kicked down COVID street,
yeah,
isn't it?
Of course,
so it was meant to be spring, and then it was autumn, and now God knows. So
yeah, who knows when it's going to start up again?
And it will start. It will probably end up being me reciting that poem by the time.
Kerry comes on dressed as a rabbit with blood coming out of her eyes. Yeah, lockdown's been
mask.
Hard, yeah.
You just chuck £2 at her and leave.
We should say we've put on work in progress shows in May for Edinburgh. They've been a lot worse than that. So
yeah. We haven't even had the pandemic to blame. Yeah.
Yeah.
From the
never sorting out your beef.
Cold cuts.
Can I just stress, by the way, I wasn't puking up potatoes during that. I didn't turn into like one of those tennis ball machines that every now and then I'd have to mute my microphone and turn off my camera and just fire a potato at the wall. I was just in a bit of a sore.
You did it very subtly. You brought your hand to your mouth and just depositing it down your sleeve.
And that's bubble and squeak for tomorrow night. Exactly.
That's absolutely
lovely.
You're
like a Pez dispenser for potatoes.
Spuds.
Anyway, I mean, that's just another word for potatoes. Yeah, the great thing about it is you can call a potato whatever you like. I for one like to call them a Roasty Crosby, and that's why I've earned the nickname Matthew Roasty Crosby. beefbrotherspodcast@gmail.com. get in touch.
It's Crosby Roasty Matthew.
Oh, it's Crosby Roasty Matthew, that's right, sorry. Crosby Roasty Matthew.
Clarky, what dinner were you digesting when we were having such a lovely time?
Well, I had a Crosby's dozen of roast potatoes, yes, which is 48 potatoes.
a Crosby Roasty Matthew surprise there. All potatoes all the time.
It is worth flagging up before Luke Crosby or other fans of Clarky get in touch. During the record, Clarky said paternity, and I really enjoyed it, but didn't have a chance to say how much I enjoyed it. So just if you go back, was it the patriarchy? Patriarchy. I thought it was a lovely bit of business. It just things got moving too quickly for me to flag it up.
That's the thing. It's not that we ignore Clarky. It's just that we've got other things we want to say. I was going to say things move so quickly, but I've realised that's because we start talking again. That's not.
Yeah. Sorry, mate. We've got bigger fish to fry, and by fish I mean potatoes.
We've got a couple of messages I think are worth reading out because people have got in touch with us about these are quite crucial actually. Clarky, do you want to start with yours?
From Jez Evans at Pappy's tweet, where we live in South Wales, the second line to "Let's all go to Tesco's where Parry buys his best clothes" would have been, "He thinks they're really nifty. They're only £1.50.
It's great.
That's good. It's good to know the second line of that.
You can genuinely get some decent clothes for £1.50 from Tesco's. So in your face.
And nifty, great word to say in a Welsh accent, I imagine, Parry.
Oh, nifty.
Yes. It works.
Rachel got in touch via Patreon and said, "Just been listening to the latest house meeting, was screaming at my phone that the AR running app that Parry has invented already exists."
Oh, foiled again.
At least as a Kickstarter, it's called Ghost Pacer.
Now, you've got to see this, Parry.
Ghost Pacer is our support band, isn't it, for Ghost Wolf? We'll put Ghost Pacer up first, you know. They get the crowd warmed up. And then Godliman puts on a cowl and off we go.
I'd love it. You've got to see it, though, by the way. It's like a little blue blue hologram. Have you checked it out?
Yeah, I checked it out and... you know, it's living my dream. I mean, I think obviously with my technology, the Parry Pacer will, you know, you won't be looking at a blue RoboCop figure. You'll be looking at yourself. You know, that's the difference.
RoboCop thing.
Yeah, it's kind of like, if you look at it, it's like a RoboCop type robot figure thing that you're racing.
It is as well. You're not wrong.
I know, there you go. So but like, you know, with my Parry Pacer, You'll be looking at yourself running in whatever outfit you choose. So, you know, you could be up against yourself in a nice peacock suit or, you know, a special effects onesie or whatever.
A rabbit? Whatever, the last rabbit? That work?
You could be chasing the last rabbit. Well, there we go. Today's episode was produced, as ever, by the one and only.
That's it, baby.
Caution team. Emma Caution.
Caution team. Again, confusing. Emma Caution is her name. We call her, of course, we call her Caution Roasty Emma, but we don't need to mention that on the podcast.
Thank you, Crosby Roasty Matthew.
You're welcome, mate.
I was at my friend's wedding. We went away to America for the week, and his niece, who was 10 at the time, on the first night of the holiday, gave me the nickname Tommy Cummy.
And then for the whole week, her family called me Tommy Cummy. And it was like, they found it hilarious because it was slightly rude, but it's the worst thing I've ever had. Tommy Cummy. Gross.
Yeah.
But anyway, on that bombshell.
There is a problem with evening records, I think. There's one flaw I can see in them, is that we get so fucking giddy doing them.
Get so hopped up on starch.
So this is Crosby, Roasty Matthew, Tommy Cummy, and Ben Clark signing off for another week. Cheers, everyone.
Cheers, everyone.
Bye.
Bye. Order. Order. Order in court. Will you please be upstanding, jurors? Order, order. Will you please be upstanding for today's Patriot Neighborhood Watch roll call versus the... establishment.
The case
is in
overruled.
The case is in overruled. Session.
Overruled.
Overruled.
Objection. Objection to your overruling.
Will the right honourable gentleman do up his lace, Your Honour, and I put it to the jury that the victim's name is Rotated Owl Face.
Could I first establish, are we in the Houses of Parliament or are we in court? Can I just...
Order.
I'm in contempt of Parliament for asking that question. Let me tell you, would the right honourable gentleman not agree that we saw him last night interfering with a dog in the park? We have a witness, Jeanne d'Arc.
I would like to object to that, please.
Object.
And put it to you that in fact, in the park, it was Emma Louise... Please.
Order. The right honourable member has forgotten clearly that the jury are over here. And I put it to the jury that we can't afford to bring the next witness, Myrie Ford.
Let me put it to you, members of Parliament and indeed of the jury, let me put it to you that... this is indeed, of course, a case of a man with a cough, as diagnosed by the preeminent physician Zoe Goff.
Order. Calm down, everyone. I know we all have, at this stage, a very short fuse. None other, of course, than my right honourable gentleman.
Order,
Thomas Matthews.
Order, Your Honour. The right honourable gentleman has clearly not realised that this is in the court of law in front of this jury.
A court of law, a court of
parliament. Objection sustained that I have something to confess. The next... witness's statement has been pissed on by Ben Dennis. Order.
Sit down, please. Everyone,
someone clean that up. Someone get some blue roll and clean that up, please. Thank you, Ben. I mean, you made it. You can clean it up. Now, listen, everybody. Order. I put it to you, right, honourable gentlemen, that this case will not be solved very quickly.
No.
It will be solved rather slowly. For the evidence needs to be presented, and the jury need to deliberate hard. And no one needs to deliberate more than Max Bougiard.
Order. I've got no idea.
That was a stab in the dark at the pronunciation there, but
I put it to I'll you, it. Sirs yes. and madams, you know, I put it to you that there were three assailants, and my client only fought one. My client, of course, Alex Gorton. Order.
Order. Will the jury please remember that this was a story about someone in a park bumming a dog?
Yes.
And Hi. It's time to say hi to my next witness, Jack Hogg.
Yes, now would the jury please remember that this is a story all about how my life got flipped turned upside down, and I'd like to take a minute, just sit right there, I'll tell you how I became Paul Maloney.
Order. Now, I just want to put it to you that we should go out for a break because yes. I want to smoke at least 5 or 6 cigs
yes.
that I'm going to bum off my good friend, Joel Briggs.
Yes.
Your right honourable gentleman has clearly forgotten that when he was chilling out, maxing all cool and shooting some b-ball outside of the school that he was in the wrong town. And it is therefore I call for a mistrial, and I would like to go to lunch with Leslie Brown.
Sustained.
Let's go to lunch and order, some food.
Order.
Well, that concludes today's Patreon Neighborhood Watch. Roll call.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.